Hello, Dina.
Can you hear
Hello?
Okay?
Yeah.
Awesome. Let's give a good morning stretch to our listeners. Ooh, my back popped. That was good. So tell me about your dream that you had last night.
Oh, okay. Well, there was a bunch of them. One. Well, I slept for so long. I thought I was going to wake up and go do my stand-up. But as often happens, I changed my mind once the alarm went off. So I ended up just sleeping for almost, 11 hours. So
nice.
I had many dreams. And one was there was some sporting event where somebody like George Bush was there and he had a heart attack, but it was very, and George Bush's, it was like George Bush Sr. was there, and George Bush was like, my heart rate is up, should I go to the hospital? Because it's a very important game and I want to see it. And George Bush Sr. said, you know, I can't make that decision for you, you know, because you're probably having a heart attack, but if you want to see the game, I'm not going to tell you to go to the hospital. And I guess I kind of at some level, I mean, that's crazy, you know, like you should go to the hospital, you shouldn't watch the sports game. Okay, so that's one dream.
I'm really good at interpreting. Well, I'm really, really good at interpreting dreams. And I'm super excited to see if any of them tie together. It'll be fun.
Okay. So the second dream, I was waiting for a bus, and I got on with my bike, and there was already a guy there. But the weird thing about this was to get on the bus, you stood on this little hydraulic lift, and it lifted you up into the bus. But me and the guy were there on the lift, and a woman got on, and so all three of us were there, and as the hydraulic lift went up, the walls closed in on us, and they were closing in, and we were yelling for the bus driver, like, hey, this is going to crush us, and there was a window in it, and I broke through the window, and somehow we made it onto the bus okay, and we kind of admonished the bus driver. And that was that part of the dream. And then I was in art class, and the teacher was asking, the question that he had asked every student, and I was last, and it was like a 10-part question. And I knew three of the parts, and for the rest of it, I was like, I don't know. And I was kind of being funny and cute about not knowing the answer. And then the guy and then I was also like, oh, and it's really embarrassing because I'm also a teacher here. And the guy was he was merciless about making fun of me for not knowing the answers. And it wasn't even just making fun of me. He was like, you know, I didn't like you since you walked in, you know, carrying that garbage, because apparently I had been carrying some 2x4s or something. And like he's like, I didn't like you because of the way you dressed or something. So anyway, he was really mean. And then the next time I taught a class, all I did was and it was a character really, not really me. It was like sort of, but it was also kind of me, put on the blackboard just this a really colorful picture of a magazine article in which that previous professor got a bad review and of his art. Also a caricature of a girl in the class who took his side. And a colorful picture of a magazine in which my work was reviewed. And the girl said, I don't have to take this. And I said, that's okay, class dismissed. That's all I had. And then the class was dismissed. And then somebody came up and said, another artist, this woman, and she was saying that she really liked what I had, liked my style. Okay, that's it.
Well, there's a trend, I think, in all of them, which is the possibility of choice. Like, you know, like like, you give George Bush a toy, and I feel like your choice to be humorous or not, or to be in peril or not, it sounds like there's something in your life that's causing you to bounce back and forth between sort of sticking it out, whether it's, you know, a heart attack or being compressed into a bus in an uncomfortable situation, or being kind of ridiculed in your work environment, or feeling as though, like, you're not 100% where you're supposed to be, or like you're taking out the trash in your teacher. But like, why were you, it's almost like you feel subconsciously like you're taking out the trash at work, and that your choice is to continue to, in a way, suffer under some condition that's uncomfortable, whether, again, it's a heart attack or being compressed, like you're suffocating or you can't get out, and to just have a good sense of humor about it, you know, just like, whatever, it's fine, you know, I'm not going to take this too seriously, I'm going to continue watching the game, or I'm just going to let this roll off my shoulders and not harbor on it. Or it's like you get the choice to stand up for yourself and to make a new decision and to forge a new path. And so maybe something in your subconscious is like pushing that message through these stories and narratives, which is actually how a lot of dreams work. Now, some dreams are very different, and I don't do like prophecy stuff, like people that, you know, whose dreams are like telling the future, because I've never had a dream like that. But I've had a lot of dreams like yours, where my emotional body is trying to speak to my mind, and my emotional body is trying to say, hey, I feel this way. Can I just show you in this dream how I'm feeling? And I wake up having had, like, the craziest dreams. But usually they have a profound message in them for me, a good learning experience.
Wow. I never would have interpreted it that way. And yet, I don't know if you're just telling this because you know my life.
No, I don't know you that well. Like, I don't know what's going on. I just know that you have choices, like most humans, to do what you really want, or to feel compressed in by life, to settle, to sort of like have a good sense of humor about, you know, where you are, even though that's not where you want to be. My dad is like that, you know. My dad, he cracks jokes when he's very uncomfortable. That's when his greatest humor comes out. It's like, oh, we're about to go crashing into something, and he'll somehow have time to make a joke about it, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's right. That's how I deal with things a lot of the time. And you know, I mean, it's almost hard to believe you're not just talking about my life and like skipping. I mean, because now that you mention it, you know, that is how work feels, you know, on every level, the being crushed in the hydraulics and the, like, you know, carrying the garbage and all that, and having a heart attack and making jokes the whole time. Saying, well, you know, might as well make fun of it.
So, right, and so in your dream, you had a choice. Like, you could make a decision to leave the game and to, like, take care of yourself. Is there a choice that you feel, like, what are your choices right now that you feel that you have that maybe you don't want to make?
Well, if I mean, the only thing I could think would be quitting, and I can't, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do for a living, so I don't know how much of a choice that is.
You can apply for jobs in Boston. I'm kidding. Parts of your job.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's entertaining.
Yeah, so there are many reasons why you've talked yourself out of looking for anything else. Okay, so you have the choice of looking for something else, either, you know, anywhere in LA or, you know, we're across the country from each other, but like you have a whole world at your disposal. You could go to any country and do anything. So you have the choice to start looking elsewhere. What's another choice that you feel you have?
What, besides quitting, or like something
Is there something you can do at work to make the situation like go away?
Well, it's hard to say because even the most successful teachers are, you know, it's sort of like they're always in the middle of a heart attack. You know, the intensity of it.
Wow.
It's like a sustained like heart attack stroke. I don't know.
Do you think people are taking their work too seriously? Like,
well, you can't not. You can't. These kids are like, if you don't take it like a heart attack, you know, then they don't take it. They don't take you seriously.
Oh wow. Yeah. That's difficult. You know, because the situation at Harvard is so different. Like, these professors are joking and cussing right before they give a lecture. The students there, you know, just they take it for granted that the students there take them seriously because they just, it's so different. That's incredible. And you're right, you have to cater to the needs of the student, the personality, the different. I mean, it's just, that's incredible. So you're really trying to harness their attention, and the way to do that is to kind of, you know, take it seriously, of course.
Yeah. So, masterful, Dana. Amazing. I am amazed by your ability to interpret dreams.
Well, it's not a gift that I advertise. I usually just do it for myself. I've never actually, I might have maybe interpreted a friend or two. I mean, the only reason I know it works is because when I do it, I have to be very honest with myself and say, okay, why am I having this dream? This is really embarrassing. Like, what a crazy, crazy dream that was. But I've gotten pretty good at learning from them because, I mean, the worst thing is having to learn the same damn thing over and over and over again, you know. And so if you have a recurring dream, then those are the worst because you're like, wow, there's a lesson in my life that I am definitely not getting right now. So it
right.
became really important to me to just learn as fast as possible. So, yeah. But there's room, I mean, you know, there's room for other interpretation. I mean, you might think about it later today and have an epiphany of, you know, something else that was going on in
the
dream that is.
You know, I think that was so good that I'm not going to think about it anymore. I'm just going to go with that one. I mean,
cool.
That's true. You know, I think there's a certain amount of just stuff that's intolerable in my work life, and you know, it's just not okay, and yet I have to come back every day and I have to be the one in charge, and so that's the situation. And
yeah,
there's not really, I don't see much else right now, but I will think about it. And there's plenty of good stuff, too. It's really rewarding, too. I mean, and I make progress. I see progress happen all the time. I mean, I just gave my hardest students a box of books that were low reading level, high interest books. And they were, like, all over them. They were grabbing them, and they were, like, you know, arguing about who would get which ones. And this is where they had all said they hate reading and, you know, don't read and don't want to read. And so I don't know where that'll go. It might end up they all get ripped and lost and stuff. And but, you know, there's moments like those all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a lot of people feel the way that you do, where something is so rewarding at work, or the people are so wonderful, or, you know, the boss is so easy to work with. I mean, that they sort of, they know that there's a blessing there, and yet there's something unsettling about it too, like, it's just not right. There's something unfulfilling. I can do so much more. I'm really not 100% here. But I think a lot of people feel the need to settle, because it is. It's really the game of going out and getting another job is unsettling and difficult. And so it's something to think about, and I think a lot of people will relate to your dream for sure.
And there's always, you know, we have these summer vacations where you always get a chance to maybe find something else to do as a teacher. So, Dana, I think we found a possible theme for the show, where it's a morning show where somebody calls in with a dream they just had.
Oh, no. This is... No.
You're so good at
are
it.
Are we going to talk about this during the actual podcast, what the show is going to be about? Because this is
that's another funny way of doing the show, to talk about what the show is going to be about.
I think the show. So I'm writing a book called Harnessing Reality. We've talked about names for the show. We have so many topics to talk about. So many incredible things to explore. I do think Harnessing Reality is a great umbrella name. I hate that it's often the name of my book, but then it makes sense because I'm in the show, so there's a connection there at least. But I also have a website that can host the show. Like, you know, we can put podcasts up on the website. So let's just make it like a umbrella show for lots of esoteric, fun, interesting, you know, weird, practical, impractical things. And then I don't think people should call in, not yet. We have barely established ourselves. This is the first show. I think you and I talking is plenty. And then if people really want to talk to us, they can email us and ask us funky questions.
Including dream analysis.
Well, I mean, if someone has a really pressing question that we find fascinating, we can invite them to be a guest on the show and ask that question. But I don't think it's appropriate to just have, like...
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I got to take a shower and get going.
I'm going to eat breakfast.
Going to work.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks.
That was awesome.
Thank you. Wow. I mean, look what you've done, and it's on record. So.
Yay. All right. We'll talk soon.
All right. Okay.
Have a wonderful day.
Thanks.
Okay.
You too. Bye.
Bye.